Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. He was, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Wherefore am I come baptizing with water? And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your love and care. God, pray now that you'd make preaching easy. God, this thought you give me, I pray you'd make something of it in our hearts. God, I'm a broken vessel. I'm a nobody. I pray you'd get in the way. I'd be out of your way, Father, for you're all that we need to see today. Father, you be big in our eyes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I had this thought, I've had it a long time in my Bible, but I was praying last night and looking over things, and I believe this is what God had me to preach today. But I thought about John here in this chapter, and how he is a working and he is a laboring. He is doing exactly what he is told to do. He said, he who told me what to do told me I'd see the one that I'm doing it for one day. And he said, I've been a laboring and I'm a working. And he's out there and he's a laboring. They said, who are you? And they said, are you the Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. And they said, well, who in the world are you? And said that the Pharisees sent him to find out who he was. Said, if you're not the Christ, why are you baptizing? Why are you doing something of power? Why are you doing something of significance? If you're not who the Christ is, why are you doing what you're doing?
Amen.
I thought about that.
Come on.
My mind went back to several people in the Word of God. I thought about Martha as she was cumbered about. Can I say today that the work will cumber you about? You listen to me this morning. The work will encumber you about if you're not careful. Martha had Jesus Christ right there in her house, but she's more focused on the work than she was on Jesus. I thought about also how that old Jeremiah got weary doing the work.
Yeah.
It wore him out. He came to the place where he said, I'm done.
Yeah.
God, you've deceived me. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of being thrown in dungeons. I'm tired of all this. I'm wore out. God, I'm done.
You're right. Come on.
The work will wear you out, Brother Gray. The work will wear you out.
Yeah.
Talking to old Brother Dave last night, trying to encourage him. Him and his wife tucked up in that sardine can for a year trying to serve God and all the pressures of that, and how he just discouraged a bit. But I'm telling you, this work will wear you out. It'll wear you out. I thought about old Paul. I'm telling you, Paul went through some things. Over and over. Seemed like everywhere Paul went, Brother Joe, he is getting attacked. Things are just going on in his life. Can I say that the work will try you? It'll try you. You'll be doing something for God and all at once you find yourself being drug out of the city and stoned for it. It'll try you, my brother. This work will try you out. Hey, it's no easy task that God has given us to do, and you will be tried by the work.
Yeah.
try you, I thought about Moses. If you read in the Psalms, you'll find that when that thing went down about smoking that rock and the water coming out, you'll find that God blamed Israel for Moses' judgment. Could I tell you the work will wound you, Brother Zach? It'll wound you. You'll love people and it'll come back and wound you. You trying to do things for God and I'm telling you, it'll scar you up. There'll be bruises everywhere. This thing will wound you. I'm talking about the man of God that loved God's people, stayed God from destroying them. And the only verse in the Bible that quits is the one where Moses broke into prayer and wept that God would not hurt the people of God, yet they turned around and hurt him, and he never got to see the place he was leading them to. He never got to step foot in it, Brother Glenn. He got to see it, but he never got to step foot in it. Them people wounded him in the work. And I'm telling you today, you can get wounded by this work of God. You can get wounded by it. Hey, you listening to me? I'm trying to give you something this morning. The work of God will wound you. It'll try you. It'll encumber you.
Yes, sir. Yes, amen, son. Yes, sir. Rebuttal.
I thought about old Jonah.
Amen, brother.
Jonah went to Nineveh on the command of God. But he did not want to go. And there's speculation as to why. Some say that he, being a Jew, did not want to go down there and preach to them Gentiles. But he did not want to go, and he fought God on that. And when he got there and he preached and he walked through that city and preached, that city broke down into ashes and sackcloth from the king right on down to the cattle. I mean, it broke before God and began to repent. And the man of God went outside the city, pulled himself up a rock and sat down and got mad with God. Could I tell you this morning, you hear me? Sometimes the work of God will trouble you.
Right.
Sometimes it'll trouble you. This work of God that we're doing, sometimes you ain't real pleased with the way God's doing things. Brother Terry, sometimes it'll trouble you to look at that and see God doing it. God demanded something out of you, Brother Harold. You don't want to do it. This work will trouble you. It'll trouble you.
Yes, sir.
I thought about old Elijah. Elijah had gone up there and had that great victory with them prophets of Baal and had fire come down. I mean, what a great work that was done there. And God had honored that and sent that fire down, lapped that water up, and they slaughtered all them prophets and all of that. And then you find in chapter 19, Elijah running out into the wilderness. Hey, he's running out there trying to get away from something. Can I tell you that the work of God will break you?
Yeah.
It'll break you. It'll bring you to a place where you don't even know what to think anymore. It'll bring you to a place where your heart will snap. The work of God will break you. Hey, somebody said this thing, not a whole lot of shouting, but it's a whole lot of plowing. Hey, this thing's a lot of labor. Yeah, we like the glory. Yeah, we like the shout. But Brother Joe, we're going to leave here in a couple of days. You're going to go back to Louisiana. Them little kids on the street with no shoes on their feet. And the work's hard. The work's troublesome. The work will wear you out. It's a work that is... Hey, it's a work that'll break you down. It is a hard work. It's a hard work. And it'll hurt you. And it'll wear you out. And you'll sometimes be going down the road. And your wife will look at you. And you'll look at your wife. And you'll say, what in God's name are we doing? What are we doing? Did anything just happen at that last revival? we going up here to that meeting? Is there any good in what we're doing? And I can see John. I can see John as he's doing the commission God gave him to do. And he's a preaching out there, and he's a down there, and he's a baptizing in the water day after day after day. He's been doing this for 30 something years, man. He's been a doing this. He's been a serving God from the womb, man. This was his commission. He's been a serving God, and he's out there in them waters, a serving, and he's in the work, and he's working, and he's bound to the work. But one day, I said one day, he looked up and his smile came across his face, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Give you a few things and I'll sit down.
Amen.
Look up from the work and behold the Lamb.
Yeah.
We're living in a day and time of preacher idols. Preachers who esteem themselves to be something. Yea, and people of God who put them up there. Hey, you're not the main attraction. I said you're not the main attraction. If you're going to complete this work, you're not the main attraction. Look up to the Lamb.
That's right, Brother Shum. Amen.
Look up to the Lamb. Quit trying to be somebody. Quit trying to lift yourself up. Quit trying to gather a ministry around you so that you'll be up here. You're not the main attraction. Are you the Christ? No! You're not the main attraction. Let me say number two. If you're going to complete this thing, John understood. He understood the ruggedness.
You're helping us, preacher.
He understood it. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He understood the ruggedness. When them wounds start peering on you, and you start looking around at that blood gushing out of you, you better remember the ruggedness of this thing we do for God. John remembered it. John understood it. He said, I'm the one in the wilderness. You better come to that resolve in your heart. I'm the one in the wilderness. I'm not looking for a place to lay my head. I'm not looking for a cushy pillow. I'm not looking for good things. I'm the one in the... Hey, you hear me this morning? We're the ones in the wilderness. It's a rugged thing we do. It's a rugged thing we do. Ain't a whole lot of pleasure and glory in it. Hey, somebody look at you and think, well, he's got it made. Brother Glenn, they don't see what you go through. They don't see your little wife going up in there and that kitchen's this far apart and she's cooking for them men of God and for you. She does it at them meetings and tries to be a blessing back to them. And they don't see you big old giant, try to go down that hallway and get in that bed that ain't that 6 feet long and you're 7 feet long. They don't see that stuff, man. They think, well, you in a big motorhome going for God. No! It's a rugged thing we do for God, Brother Cooper!
You're right, son.
Yeah.
You're
right.
He understood the ruggedness. Not only that, but he understood the loneliness.
Yes, sir.
He said, I am the voice of one crying. He understood the loneliness. It's a lonely walk.
Yes, it is, dear brother.
It's a lonely walk. You hear me this morning?
God,
your wife can't even comfort you sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a lonely walk that we do for God. Brother David told me last night, he said, Brother Tab, I was in a meeting last week and he said, I felt so alone.
Yeah.
I said, Brother David, I'm there a lot. I'm there a lot. Sometimes I don't want to go to fellowship. I just want to go crawl into my house and get in my truck and go down the road. I'm telling you, it's a lonely walk. We walk for God. And if you're going to complete this thing, you better recognize and resolve in your heart, you're alone.
Yes.
You're alone. You're alone. Trying to serve God. Let me say this. John knew he had the message for the people. And when nobody else was standing up there and preached, John was going to. He knew he is the one. He cared about enough about them people to stand up there and preach. While they were making fun of him. While them Pharisees were poking at him, trying to find some way to check him. He knew that people needed to hear the message. He knew he is the one. He cared that they got the message. I'm telling you, if you're going to complete this thing, there better be something deep down in your heart that cares that those people get the message. Let me say lastly, he lived to point out the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
You read that right there and you read it like today he's a baptizing, telling them there's somebody coming whose shoe latchet I'm not able to unloose, and tomorrow he shows up. Brother Rick, he's been telling that for years.
That's right.
He's been saying that for years, Cody.
That's right.
He lived his life for that one opportunity to say, there he is. He lived to point out the Lamb of God. Yeah, it's a hard work. Yeah, it's a troublesome work. But behold,